Okay, hi. My name is Glenn Newbloom, and this is my sweet wife Desiree, and we've been married for 151 months.
Long time.
So, for my math friends out there, that's about 12 and a half years. Hey, good. Thanks for showing up. We have 2+1 adult kids. Our son Dane is 30. His wife, our daughter-in-law Maud, is 27. And our daughter McKenna is 25. So a little bit about my past. I was raised in the Denver, Colorado area, and I'm the oldest of three with two younger sisters. My father was an angry and unforgiving man with us behind closed doors, and he was physically abusive to me and my sisters. Anger and turmoil inside the home translated to peace and tranquility outside the home, exactly the way he wanted us to look. So this was my template for how I should treat my future family. As for my upbringing, spiritually or in the church, I was not that guy. Church and God to me were one and the same, where it meant we checked the box on Sundays, and I had to wear fancy, uncomfortable clothes and shoes that went along with that big fancy Bible in the living room that we are not allowed to touch.
And I was born and raised in a small town in Northeast Ohio. I'm the second oldest of four girls. I was raised Catholic. My mother would take us to church, but my dad wouldn't go. I was not familiar with the Bible, and like Glenn, we also had a big fancy Bible on our coffee table. My parents were not a good example of what a healthy marriage or loving family should look like. My dad verbally abused my mom in front of us and our friends. She wouldn't defend herself because she didn't want to anger him further. I prayed my mom would divorce my dad because of the way he treated her. He also would embarrass my sisters and me in public by saying inappropriate things for all to hear. When I was a teenager, I was very rebellious because of my treatment by my dad. I wasn't close to anyone in my family, and I made bad choices with drugs, alcohol, and sex. I was arrested at 14 for shoplifting. I felt suicidal at times, and I begged my mom for help, but she didn't know what to do. When I was 20, I was ready for a change in my life and leave the little town I grew up in. A friend talked me into moving to Texas. I was ready to leave everyone and everything behind to make a fresh start. When I got to Dallas, I continued making bad choices. I had brought my bad habits with me.
So Desiree is not my first wife. She's not my second or third wife either. She is my fourth wife. I married my first wife in my early 20s and was divorced within a year. We had a seemingly good start to our marriage from our friend's perspective, but behind closed doors, it was filled with constant bickering and daily arguments that ruled our life inside the home. I blamed her for all of our issues from the moment we were married, so it was easy for us to part ways for me and for me to move on with my life. 5 years later, I met and married my second wife, only to see the same patterns develop over time. This time, it took about 2 years for my anger issues to manifest, and after four years of marriage, we divorced, where I selfishly blamed her for most of our core problems in our marriage. So I waited about 10 years before getting married for the third time. I thought this time it would be different, but it wasn't. I believed all our problems were her fault because I could never see my part in our conflicts. We divorced after 7 years of marriage. So there's a common thread throughout all these marriages. I was not a believer. My anger and unwillingness to invite God into our lives wreaked havoc in every relationship. And whenever church was mentioned, I immediately scoffed and thought at the thought and gave it a wave of dismissal. I've since learned the truth of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18, which says, "Therefore, if anyone is with Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Had I known Christ and had been surrounded with a community of believers pointing me to his word, I would have sought to reconcile my first marriage.
Well, I got married at 30, and I joined my then ex-husband's Christian church and was very active in volunteering. My faith was growing in Christ as I started to hear more about God's word. Still, I was not familiar with the Bible. We had our son Dane 2.5 years after we were married, and McKenna 5 years after that. I loved being a mom, but it took its toll on my ex-husband. He wasn't ready for sharing me, as well as all that went into being a father. We grew apart little by little. We were both miserable and living undivorced. I found out he was having an affair and decided to leave him and take the kids with me. It devastated Dana McKenna. I suffered terrible guilt, and in hindsight, I know that if I had known Christ and had a relationship with him, I would have been seeking his word and the counsel of other believers. If I had known these truths, I would have sought reconciliation. I simply put the kids before my husband, and I didn't have God or the tools to work on my marriage. Colossians 1:17 comes to mind now where it is written, "For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together."
So Desiree and I met in February of 2008 on a Christian dating website where I proclaimed that I was a believer, but I was just faking it. I had no idea who God really was. We dated for about 6 months, and I decided to ask her to marry me. So on a beach on the island of Kauai one morning in the summer of 2008, I proposed.
After some time had passed after my divorce, my sister talked me into going on the eHarmony website. I didn't want to, but she talked me into it. She's always been a really good salesperson. A few months later, that's when I met Glenn. He was so romantic, and he swept me off my feet when he proposed to me on the beach of Kauai. I couldn't say no.
And in retrospect, I'm somewhat surprised that she accepted my proposal because 1 hour before I knelt on the beach, I told her about my first marriage when I was in my early 20s. You see, I told her about my two of my marriages, but completely omitted the first one. I lied about it for so long to so many people, and I was embarrassed to admit that I had been divorced 3 times. And I was embarrassed that I kept it a secret from her as long as I did. But she accepted my proposal, and we were married in April of 2009. We checked the box and went to church on holidays, and we even gave it a feeble effort to go on non-holidays. But I always had an excuse about why we shouldn't go. I was a complete liar and a fraud, as I didn't know who God was, and I really wasn't interested in knowing him. So Desiree came with a package of 2 kids. At the time, Dane was 17 and McKenna was 12. And on the day of our wedding, I considered both kids as mine. I think we have a picture of that, of all the stuff that went on that day. And while I was uneducated about how to deal with kids, I was a savant in motivating employees to career success. So I figured that raising kids was not much different. I was wrong.
Yes, he was. We didn't know each other when we got married. We didn't discuss anything, not finances, goals, or how to raise the kids. But Glenn went all in with the kids as we attended every activity that they were involved in. Our son left for college a few months after we were married. Our son left for college a few months after we were married. Things became more difficult. Our daughter was a teenager during this season, which can bring about some parenting challenges. So for those of you with teenage girls, I think you understand what I'm saying. Glenn would tell me what to do about McKenna and was not happy about the way I disciplined her. He said hurtful things to her and to me. He wanted to control the situation, and I was in the middle. I was defensive and felt I needed to protect her like a mother bear with her cub.
Almost predictably, as my previous marriages, my infatuation with Desiree began to fade, and I gravitated back to my controlling nature that led to anger. I made excuses for it. I blamed her just to divert attention from my poor behavior. I'd see everything from my selfish perspective and wonder how our situation could ever change. Our relationship became consistently tense, and I found out she was planning to leave me if things got worse. And it all came to a head one evening in March of 2016, where Desiree did leave me following a huge argument about an issue with our daughter. It didn't matter what the issue was, but it was the last straw for both of us. At the time, I was glad she left, as I too wanted out of the marriage. I felt everything was her fault, and she just didn't get it. She put the kids ahead of me, and I would get upset because she did not understand my perspective. If there was any remorse on my part after she left, it was the recollection of the good times with her and the kids.
After McKenna left for college, we were empty nesters. We had some good times, but there remained an undercurrent of frustration and anger on Glenn's part. I kept a lot of things from him because I didn't want to make the situation worse. I was a stuffer and didn't like conflict, especially because of the relationship I had with my father. I saw myself in the same spot that my mom was in. I didn't like Glenn or who I was when I was with him. I didn't want to be around the anger any longer. I had all I could take, and I left him. After the separation, Glenn and I were civil to one another most of the time. We talked about divorce, but I wasn't quite ready to pull the trigger. Something or someone was telling me not to do it. I realize now it was the Holy Spirit. A friend told me about Reengage at Watermark. I went to the website and watched the testimonies. Seeing how God changed their marriages, I knew I could have that kind of relationship with Glenn. Isaiah 43:19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." He said he would attend with me, but only had one foot in the door. From the beginning of Reengage, God kept pushing me to continue, even though I didn't feel like it. It wasn't easy. My friends and family would ask me, "Why are you still trying? Can't you see he doesn't want to be with you?"
So we separated, and within a few months, we were a quick signature away from getting a divorce. Desiree called and asked me to look at the Reengage link, and I told her that I'd look at it and let her know. A few days later, I gave her a half-hearted commitment that we could try it, but my thoughts always gravitated back to, if someone would just fix her, we'd be all set. Bottom line, I had no idea where this Reengage thing would take us. When we went on the first night of the newcomer session, I rated our marriage as zero. My thoughts were forced. My thoughts were focused on my belief that our marriage was finished and there was nothing that anyone could do to change that. And in the first few weeks of our open group sessions, I would sit in the room and contemplate the topics of forgiveness and grace while internally rolling my eyes at Desiree's tears. I was there with a bad attitude, and I was looking for any excuse to leave. Assessing my then poor behavior, I now think of Proverbs 28:26, which says, "Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe."
God kept working on Glenn's heart, as well as mine. When we were studying the forgiveness lesson, I couldn't find my part in our conflict. It wasn't until I truly prayed Psalm 139, 23 and 24, which says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." To reinforce this, during one of the testimonies in big group, a couple showed a picture of their family on the big screen. The kids were in the middle, and they were on either side of them. They talked about one of their biggest challenges in their marriage was putting their kids before each other. They worked on making their marriage a priority. And at the end of their testimony, they showed another picture with them in the middle and the kids were on either side of them. That visual was very powerful for me. I finally realized that that was my part in our marriage. I put our kids first.
But I kept coming. I kept listening, and we were put into a small group with Ray and Dana Smith. That's one of the first things I learned was to humble myself. Turning to Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, I came to understand scripture which says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significantly than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." At that time, I found my way to the men's Bible study where I surrounded myself, or they surrounded me, with a love I'd never seen before. These guys leaned in and held me accountable. They encouraged me to dig deeper into God's word and build a relationship with him, and I did. So one day in the middle of this re-engaged thing, I tried for the first time in my life to really humble myself and pray to God, and he answered. And it was a game changer in my life that completely changed my interaction with Desiree and in our relationship healing process. Gang, re-engage was not easy for us. We were separated for most of the time. We were in small group. And I found that faking God was not going to get me or our marriage anywhere. So we did the homework and met each week to talk about it. It was not easy, and it did not happen overnight. But I turned to God, and he was there, as he always was, with open arms celebrating my return. God softened my... Thanks, guys. God softened my hard and angry heart, and in response, I gave up my anger to him, and in turn, he completely changed me in my life. Turning to and loving God changed the way I see Desiree and the way she sees me, and it put our relationship on a path to recovery. Today, I love Desiree more than ever, and it's all because of my relationship and love for God.
During re-engage, we started attending Watermark, and our relationship was healing as we were moving closer to God. After 10 months of separation, I moved back in with Glenn. Our relationship is not perfect, but it is better than it has ever been. Today, we spend every morning together in prayer, God's word, and reading devotionals together. We're so blessed to be able to work with and lead out in the re-engage ministry that God used to restore our marriage. Tonight, we will be celebrating our seventh time through the curriculum. And it and our group is right here celebrating with us. and it continues to be a strengthening force with the two of us as well as with our walk with the Lord. So whether you're here for the first time tonight or you're getting ready to celebrate the completion of the curriculum, we want you to know that there is hope. The only thing that brought us back together was God, his word, and his people. It was truly a miracle. Thanks for letting us share.